Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Vidhanavallabha Srinivasadhari Vidhanavallabha Srinivasadhari Yashoda Nandana Bhajadana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhajadana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanata Yamuna Tira Vanatari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Pari Vijayacharya Sisi Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Maya Purnavidut Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Go Premanand All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga All glories to Sri Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatam Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Om Agyanati Nirandasya Gananjana Sadakaya Chakshurun Navitam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 18, bracket cursed by a Brahmin boy, texts 7 and 8. Nanu Dveti Kalim Samrat
Nanu Dveti Kalim Samrat
Saranga Iva Sarabhu
Saranga Iva Sarabhu
Kushalanyasu Sityanti
Kushalanyasu Sityanti
Netarani Kritaniyat
Netarani
Kritaniyat Nanu Dveti Kalim Samrat
Nanu Dveti Kalim Samrat
Saranga Iva Sarabhu
Kushalanyasu
Sityanti
Kushalanyasu Sityanti
Netarani Kritaniyat
Netarani Kritaniyat
Nanu Dveti Kalim Samrat
Nanu Dveti Kalim Samrat
Saranga Iva Sarabhu
Kushalanyasu Sityanti
Netarani Kritaniya Anudrishti Karan Samrat
Saranga eva sarabhu. Kusalanya sasyanti. Netarani kitani yara. Nanu kreshti kadim samrat. Saranga eva sarabhu. Kosalanya susikranti Netarani kitaniya Anu kreshti kadim samrat Saranga eva sarabhu Kosalanya susikranti Netarani kitaniya Nanu kreshti kadim samrat Saranga eva sarabhu Kushalanya susidyanti Netarani kitaniya Anu kreshti kadim samrat Saranga eva sarabhu Kusalanya susidyanti Netarani kitaniya
Never
Anu kreshti
Envious
Kalim,
unto the personality of Kali,
Samrat,
the emperor,
Saranga,
realist,
like the bees,
Eva,
like,
Sarabhu,
one who accepts the substance,
Kushalani,
auspicious object,
Ashu,
immediately,
Sityanti,
become successful.
Na,
never.
Itarani,
which are inauspicious.
Kritani,
being performed.
Yat,
as much as.
Translation by Srila
Prabhupada.
Maharaj Parikit
was a realist.
Like the bees
who accept only the
essence of a flower.
He knew
perfectly well that
in this age of
Kali,
auspicious
things produce
good effects
immediately,
whereas
inauspicious
acts
must actually be
performed to
render effects.
So he
was never envious
of the personality
of Kali.
We're also
doing text 8,
so can you put the
verse up
on?
I'll just
sing.
Kim
to him out.
Himnu
Balishu
Surena
Avina
Dirabhuna
Apramata
Pramateshu
Yogit
Yomu
Vartate.
Maharaj
Parikit considered
that less intelligent
men might find
the personality
of Kali to be
very powerful,
but that
those who are self-controlled
would have nothing
to fear.
The king
was powerful like
a tiger
and took care
for the foolish,
careless
persons.
To
better
appreciate
the concept
that Srila
Prabhupada will bring
out in the purport,
first I want to kind of
do a setup.
Might need
the microphone
to pass up
because I want to ask
a question.
What
is the
if
we understand this
purport,
this
concept
that I'm going to
ask about,
then
it flows
through
and explains
what will be
described in the
purport very clearly.
It's a
basic concept.
What is the
purpose
of the creation?
Why does
it exist?
What is the
main purpose
of
this creation?
Anybody help?
Prabhupada
said,
to awaken
love for Krishna,
With
proper attitude,
service
attitude, and
devotional character.
That's it.
That was the rectification.
Same or different? Pardon?
To bring the living back to living entities, bring back home, back to God.
Nice. Both the same. Did I go into trouble?
We give the rebellious living entities the chance to try to become happy outside of Krishna consciousness and hopefully learn in the process.
Yeah, nice. Also there. To give the living entities a chance to fulfill their desires, their independent desires. Sukra?
For Krishna to enjoy.
For Krishna to enjoy when he comes here. Nice.
To attain perfection of life in this lifetime?
What was that?
To perfect?
Yeah, to achieve perfection in this life, in this lifetime, or one of the lifetimes. Yeah, thank you. So, if we follow that motive and understand it clearly, what will be described are the conditions of Kali Yuga. Sometimes it's difficult to understand why such obstacles toward that goal would be presented before us, but it would be clearly described. But I want to go through kind of like an explanation of the whole cycle of Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Kali Yuga, which is the normal cycle. And of course, in this overlapping 28th cycle in the Vaivashvata Manava, then Dwapara Yuga came after Treta Yuga. But when the whole creation, when Mahavishnu first glances over material nature and all the elements come together and Lord Brahma is born inside each universe from Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu and then establishes all the planets, of course the first cycle is Satya Yuga. And at that time, everything is very abundant and fertile. And flourishing in nature. We know from Bhagavad Gita, Bhumera po nalo vayu kamano buddhir evacha ahankara itiyame vina prakriti arashtada, that there are eight different elements. Five are gross and three are subtle. And they interact. And understanding how the machine works helps us understand how to deal with it. So at that time, earth is so fertile and rich that when things grow, they're huge, they're abundant, they're fragrant. The earth is pure. The water is clean. Earth, water, fire. Even when fire burns, there's no toxic elements in it. It's burning, it's pleasant. Earth, water, fire, air is clean, and the water is super clean. And the sound vibration, the ether is also not filled with microwaves and television images. Right now, even where we're sitting here, we're being bombarded on a subtle plane by all the things going on in subtle space created by society around us. But in Satya Yuga, none of that is there. So the lifespan, the elements influence the mind, intelligence, and false ego of the living entities who are in the world at that time. And we should note also that not all planets are experiencing Kali Yuga now. It's this middle planetary system where Kali Yuga is. It's a day of Brahma, and so many different things happen. But they don't experience it like we do due to time relevance. So, at that time, if someone wanted to attain perfection, then there are yuga avatars in each of the four cycles. The Lord himself advents to propagate a prescription. It's like if a person has a disease, the conditioned souls are in a diseased condition. The whole place is meant to help them revive their love of God. And in each condition of those four cycles, there are advantageous ways to deal with that situation of nature
so that a person can attain perfection. There is a process for each one of those yugas, and the Lord advents to teach that process. So in Satya Yuga, to attain perfection, a person's lifespan was 100,000 years because of the outcome. Everything was so pure and clean and new. So a person would go to the forest, find a suitable sitting place, sit down in that area, begin a breathing process of pranayama, controlling the breath, and very gradually pratyahara, dhyana, dharana, and ultimately samadhi. We learn from the story of Dhruva, how he would gradually, step by step, 1 month of this, 1 month less of that, 1 month less of that, to the point finally where, you know, they would sit and meditate for 60,000 years in one spot in the forest. This is the method for attaining self-realization if you're living for 100,000 years. So you can imagine how long it would take for the mind to gradually come under control and enter into samadhi. It wasn't like you just sit down and, you know, like the next day you're entering deeper and deeper into meditation. It was a longer process. Everything was much different. So the question arises now, as we come to this particular part of the story, how Maharaj Parikshit, as emperor of the world, administrated. He was guided mostly by Domya. Domya was the priest, even of the Pandavas. We learn when they went in exile, Domya was the Brahmin who went with them. So he was constantly instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira. The Kshatriya kings were to hear from the learned Brahmins who knew the Vedas. They knew all these things I'm talking about. They knew the different ages, they knew the processes of purification, they knew how the living entities should act, and therefore the administrator, taking information with the head, the arms of the administrative government, would govern in such a way that would produce a advantageous situation for the living entities. With that in mind, let's read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The age of Kali is called the fallen age. In this fallen age, because the living beings are in an awkward position, the Supreme Lord has given some special facilities to them. So by the will of the Lord, a living being does not become a victim of a sinful act until the act is actually performed. In other ages, simply by thinking of performing a sinful act, one used to become a victim of the act. On the contrary, a living being in this age is awarded with the results of pious acts simply by thinking of them. So we can see the difference. If you're going to sit down and you're doing a meditation, you're in asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhamma, going deep, and then you start to think of some sinful act, that's not going to work. Similarly, in Treta and Dwarpa Yuga, simply by thinking of something negative, there was some reaction. But by the supreme, so the elements, the whole environment would affect the mind, intelligence, and false ego of the living entities. And of course, vice versa, we know everything comes from subtle to gross. So whatever thinking and feeling, willing a person does, ultimately affects the material, gross things around them. So this interaction in Kali Yuga, by the Lord's omnipotence, affects us in a different way. Knowing this as an administrator means that they have the intelligence how to administrate so that pious acts are encouraged and benedicted, whereas a sinful act, simply by thinking of it, there's not going to be any negative reaction. You actually have to perform the negative act to get that reaction. Maharaj Parikshit, being the most learned and experienced king by the grace of the Lord, was not unnecessarily envious of the personality of Kali, because he did not intend to give him any chance to perform the sinful act. He protected his subjects from falling prey to the sinful acts in this age of Kali. And at the same time, he gave full facility to the age of Kali by allotting him some particular places. At the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that even though all nefarious activities of the personality of Godhead, of Kali, are present, there is a great advantage in the age of Kali. One can attain salvation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Thus, Maharaj Parikit made an organized effort to propagate the chanting of the Lord's holy name, and thus he saved the citizens from the clutches of Kali. It is for this advantage only that the great sages sometimes wish all good for the age of Kali. So because Srila Prabhupada mentions that later in Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions that later in Srimad Bhagavatam, at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that even though all nefarious activities of the personality of Kali are present, there is a great advantage in this age of Kali. So I looked it up. But I wanted to share also. In the advent of a Yuga avatar who comes to propagate the particular method of self-realization appropriate for the age, there are other things that happen around that event that enhance or make it appropriate, help make it appropriate for those activities. Just like we learned that Lord Chaitanya, when he advented Advaita Charya, saw the degradation of the age, so he prayed to the Lord. And so many different associates of the Lord also advented to participate with him. So similarly, during this time of Maharaj Parikit, in our third canto online study at sadhusangaonline.com, we recently read regarding this is with Vidura and Uddhava. We're just finishing up that conversation, and from January on we'll be reading Maitreya Muni and Vidura's conversation, which is the whole end, the third canto from chapter 5, 6 all the way to the end of the fourth canto. So this describes the specific, unique personality we're dealing with here, Maharaj Parikit. The particular living entity who was selected to be the descendant of Maharaj Puru, or the Pandavas, was not an ordinary living entity. And by the superior will of the Lord, he was destined to be the successor of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, when Asvatthama destroyed the embryo of Maharaj Parikit by the Lord, by his own internal potency, entered into the womb of Uttara by his plenary portion just to give audience to the would-be Maharaj Parikit, who was in great danger. By his appearance within the womb, the Lord encouraged the child and gave him complete protection in a new body by his omnipotency. By his power of omnipresence, he was present both inside and outside of Uttara and other members of the Pandava family. So, understanding that Maharaj Parikit is not an ordinary living entity, he's advented just after the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's at the Sandhya of Kali Yuga, of Dwarka Yuga and Kali Yuga as the main administrator. And ultimately, what's going to happen, what this whole first canto, if you just kind of zoom out and look at the whole first canto, as an overview, it's an introduction to the advent of Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole first canto is basically describing what? How Srimad Bhagavatam advented. Krishna dano swagho bhagate dharma jnana dibhi saha kalo nasta vishamesha parana ko dunoditaha. That this Purana has risen like the sun. It's always, it's eternal knowledge. But by the Lord's arrangement, just like we were speaking about all these different things that happen in nature, by the Lord's omnipresence, yogamaya potency, Srimad Bhagavatam manifests in this age for the conditioned souls to instruct them.
So Maharaj Parikit is like one of the core instruments and personalities to bring this about. Now, Srila Prabhupada stated that later in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described some of the qualities of Kali Yuga, but in that description, Karavajana also instructs King Nini about the different ages. So they help to enhance our understanding of Kali Yuga. This is 11, 5, 20, and 22. Sri Karavajana replied, "In each of the four yugas or ages, Lord Keshava appears with various complexions, names, and forms, and is thus worshipped by various processes. People in such a yuga are peaceful, non-envious, friendly to every creature, and steady in all situations. They worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by austere meditation and by internal and external sense controls. In Treta Yuga, those members of human society who are fixed in religiosity and are sincerely interested in achieving the absolute truth worship Lord Hari, who contains within himself all the demigods. The Lord is worshipped by rituals of sacrifice taught in the three Vedas. In Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Enjoyer, worship Him in the mood of honoring Him like a great king, following the prescriptions of both the Vedas and Tantras." And then in his purport to the verse we're reading, Srila Prabhupada says that there's a great advantage in the age of Kali. One can attain salvation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Krishna Varnam Krisa Krishnam Sango Pangarsta Parshadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Kripte yad yayato vishnum, tretayam yajato makai, dvapare paracharyayam, kalotad darikirtana. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Thus, O King, the Supreme Lord Hari is the giver of all desirable benefits of life. Intelligent human beings worship the particular forms and names of the Lord manifest in the different ages. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge and are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali, such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can be easily achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. Indeed, there's no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord's Sankirtan movement, by which one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. My dear King, the inhabitants of Satya Yuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali, since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayana. These devotees will appear in various places, will be especially numerous in South India. So, if you were given the opportunity, the chance, here's door number one, door number two, door number three, and door number four, right? Do you want to come and do austerity, live for 100,000 years and do the austerity in the forest for 60,000 years? Do you want to do the rules and rituals and regulations of the Vedas, perform great sacrifices with mountains of ghee and mountains of grains and all kinds of things that you have to work really hard to go get? Or do you want to chant Hare Krishna? It's like a no-brainer. So this is the point that is being made thus far.
In the Vedas it said that, in the Vedas also, it is said that by discourses on Lord Krishna's activities, one can get rid of all the disadvantages of the age of Kali. In the Vedas it is said that by discourses on Lord Krishna's activities, one can get rid of all the disadvantages in the age of Kali. Kale dosha nidera jan asti heko mahan guna. Kirtanat eva Krishna siya mukta sangha parambra. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. It even says eko mahan. Eko, ek means one. There's one good quality. Out of the ocean of faults, there's one good quality. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become freed from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Back to our purport. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also said that by the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord becomes at once arrested within one's heart. These are some of the great advantages in the age of Kali, and Maharaj Parikshit took all advantage and did not think any ill of the age of Kali, true to his Vaishnavite cult. Nasta praesyo bhadraeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiti. By serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, the person and the book, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So the point is, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by serving the pure devotee, it's a formula. It's like chemistry. It's transcendental chemistry. You mix two atoms of H2O. Hydrogen and oxygen. Take an atom of hydrogen and two of oxygen. What do you get? It's like you get water, you get H2O. So similarly, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you serve Srimad Bhagavatam, you serve the pure devotee of the Lord. The result, by nature's arrangement, will be that the Supreme Lord will become fixed in your heart. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Take place. That's the formula. So Maharaj Parikshit, he's not envious of Kali. Sometimes Kali Yuga is so difficult that we look at the world. It's a crazy place. People are so, and we're only in the beginning. Just like a day, there's morning, dark night, to light sunshine. That in between time, as it gets growing from one part of the day to the other, it's called a sandhya. There's three sandhyam. The Brahmins say they're Gayatri three times a day. At those joint sessions, joint times. Morning, noon, and in the evening, like when Lord Nrisimha Dev appeared. It wasn't day, it wasn't night, it's a sandhya, it's in between. So it's described in the Vedas that from the day Krishna left this world, this planet, this universe, at that time, Kali Yuga started. For the first 36,000 years, it's a sandhya, because it's 432,000 years for the whole cycle. So 36,000 years, the first 36,000 years of Kali Yuga are only a sandhya. It's not even fully going yet. We are a little more than 5,000 years into that time period. So just imagine what's going to happen. How anxious we should be to take advantage of this situation right now, chant Hare Krishna, and go back to Godhead. But not be envious and disturbed. Next verse about Kali Yuga. Text 8. Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care for the foolish, careless person. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are not devotees of the Lord are careless and unintelligent.
Unless one is thoroughly intelligent, one cannot be a devotee of the Lord. Those who are not devotees of the Lord fall prey to the actions of Kali. It will not be possible to bring about a saner condition in society unless we are prepared to accept the modes of action adopted by Maharaj Parikshit. In other words, propagation of devotional service of the Lord to the common man. So that's the mission that Srila Prabhupada gave all of us. Not only do we practice the process, but we propagate it. We try to help others understand it by using their intelligence, giving them books, giving them prasadam, going to the Olathe Christmas and High Springs Festival. There's one nice tape we listened to recently. Prabhupada says, Srimbatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. It means that Srimbatam Svakata Krishna, Kata Krishna, Punya Shravana. It's pious to hear and chant about Krishna. So when we go out on Harinam, we force them to become pious simply by hearing this. Simply sitting on a sidewalk, watching the devotees walk by, forces these people, forces the conditioned soul to become pious. Because they hear Hare Krishna, they dance, they get some prasadam, they get a piece of candy or cookie or whatever it is. And this is going on around the planet right now. Mahendra was telling me the other day, he was meditating, he was chanting his rounds. He's thinking that up and down the whole time zone of he's in North America, so we got North America, then we got like Central America, South America. So many people at the exact same time are chanting Hare Krishna. Then you go to the Central time zone, Mountain time zone, Pacific time zone. You can go all around the planet, all around the world, there are people chanting Hare Krishna. Every day, all day long, if you look at it that way. Or you can look at who's president, the problems that are being caused by that person, the policies they're making. It's amazing the way that Maharaj Parikshit is such a, when I was kind of meditating on him for the last few days, he's such a positive outlook in life. He's a real optimist. When he got cursed to die in 7 days, what was his like reaction? Oh, poor me, on the dying. No. He thought, now I have the opportunity to give up all this family life. I've become too attached. The Lord has sent me this circumstance so that I can become purified and go back to God. I'm going to give it all up and go to the bank of the Ganges and see what happens. He's such an optimist. Kali has come, and he's causing disturbances in the kingdom. He could have killed him. He could have tried to counteract the curse. But he dealt with the situation in such a way that he got the best of it. And our verse again is, that he accepted the essence just like a bee accepts the honey from a flower. So, I guess the bottom line for our learning from this experience of Maharaj Parikshit is to see the good of Kali Yuga, focus our minds, our intelligence, our life energy, our activities on trying to propagate that positive message, live it, and share it. Srila Prabhupada's got a nice antidote to all of these things in this lecture. We have to adjust the volume.
One old lady was living. So she had a grown up son. I asked her, hoping to meet you and some money. Yes, you can marry. You see, you can maintain the family. But the maintaining of family, so these are described in the Bhagavad. If one can maintain a family, he is very glorious. Or he is maintaining family. If the girl has got a husband, she is considered to be very fortunate. So actually these things are there. So it is not our business to criticize, but the symptoms of Kali Yuga is very, very severe, and it will go more and more. We have simply passed 5,000 years only of the Kali Yuga, but the duration of Kali Yuga is 432,000 of years. Out of only we have passed 5,000 years. And after passing 5,000 years, we find so many difficulties. And the more we grow in this Kali Yuga, the days will be more and more difficult. The best thing is that you finish your Krishna consciousness business and go back to home, back to God. That will save you. Otherwise, if we come back again, the difficulties, the difficult days are ahead. We have to suffer more and more.
Friends would walk up to me and just be like, what the f*** is in your mug?
Technology. Hare Krishna, any questions or comments?
Thank you so much for your wonderful lecture. This is more like experience that I went through. I used to go japa walk every day in one place. And all of a sudden, I saw a lot of people, like the Catholic and the Muslim, because they saw me chanting my rounds every day. And I guess by the purification of the Maha Mantra, they also started chanting the rosaries, and the Muslim chant their mala while walking. So it's a good experience.
That's nice.
I would like you to explain to me more about how you are envious of Kali. I don't understand this envy thing. How can you be envious of such a bad thing?
It means negative. I don't like it. It bothers me. So therefore, I find fault with it. And I constantly criticize everybody that's doing whatever they're doing in it. I criticize the president. I criticize the military. I criticize the meat eaters. I criticize the drunkards. And you get into the negativity because you don't like it. That's envy. This is not the way I want it. So therefore I criticize it. And he didn't do that. He gave him facility. He said, you do this, you stay in your spot, you do that. And he focused on something else. So he was not envious. He allowed him, yes, you go ahead. You stay in these four places. And you stay where there's gold. He didn't. That's how he dealt with it. That's my understanding. Roger. Thank you.
Two questions. The Lord Brahma is the creator of this universe, and there is only one Brahma in one universe. So is the Kali Yuga is not, and in this one universe there are a lot of planets, thousands or millions of planets.
Yeah.
So Kali Yuga is only on this earth planet, no other planets?
No, it's in the whole planetary system, from my understanding. Mm-hmm. There's different areas where time is similar, like that. Mm-hmm. But we know that there are, 4,300,000 years in one day of Brahma? So the time cycle is totally different. Even if you go up, a notch in the universe or down, then time, just like on this planet, we see that the sun, according to its relative position, makes a certain time. So in the same way throughout the universe and the path of the sun's traversing, it changes time experience. So no, Kali Yuga isn't throughout the whole universe at all.
Here in Prabhupada is mentioned, and we always hear that inauspicious acts, if you act on it, then you get the reactions. But if you think of it and you don't act on it, then you don't get the reaction. But then Sachimata, she was thinking bad that this Advaita Acharya is my son, is going there, and he turned into sannyasi. So it's careful. And at the same time, when Lord Chaitanya was offering all the benediction, he would not offer benediction to Sachimata, because he said she had to rectify that she was thinking bad about Advaita Acharya, and she had to pay the obeisances.
So
she was just thinking. She has not acted on it. So how is that?
I would say there's two points to it. One, if I think of robbing the bank, I can't be put in prison for thinking about robbing the bank. I didn't do it. There was no act performed. But Vaishnava Aparad, a whole different experience. So we have to understand how and why that reaction is there. Vaishnava Aparad is antagonistic to the purpose of the creation. It destroys one's devotion and devotional sentiments. The whole purpose of the, like we started off our discussion in class today, the purpose of the creation is to rectify the conditioned souls, to give them a chance to purify themselves, to purify their mind, and to purify their soul and wake it up to service of God, the service of Krishna, the service of the Lord. But offending those who are serving the Lord is antagonistic to that goal.
So
therefore there are reactions.
So that means even thinking about devotee.
Yes.
Just by thinking, you are committing an offense.
Yes. Yes. John, I think, has some good quote.
These words that you are saying today, it's very prominent words by the acharyas also about this. And Balladevi Devotion Thakur even commented, even though he's not commented on Bhagavatam, but on Bhagavad Gita, he commented similarly. We may not be responsible for the thought, bad thought, that within us, but we are responsible for their dominance on us. What I mean, dominance, that bad thought came, but when I contemplate and I develop the intent to act on it, then I'm responsible.
Yes.
Now if it can pass through, it's okay. I'm not responsible.
Good point.
In Mother Swachi's case, you can think, she said, he's not a Advaita, he's a Dvaita. So Aparad in a sense also, that which is consciously made within the heart with enmity. So she created that. Whatever happened, happened, but she created that scenario that his name is not Advaita, he's Dvaita, because he has a dual nature or whatever. So that was consciously made in the heart. That's what actually triggered Mahaprabhu knew. And Mahaprabhu immediately says.
I think there's some element of lila. But understanding the mechanism of thinking, feeling, and willing, that means what he was saying was that if a thought comes into the mind and you discard it, then there's no reaction. But if the thought comes in the mind and then you contemplate it and you fuel it and you let it germinate and become bigger and bigger and bigger, we all know this, we've all experienced it, that finally the act has to be performed. And then there's the action. Good or bad.
Hare Krishna. I
appreciate very much what the conclusion of what is being explained about thinking, feeling, and willing. And I was just going to say what Pran said, but to add to that, when we contemplate something, whatever we think we become that. We react to it. We read the Bhagavatam, we become saintly. We fill our consciousness with elevation. Or if we hear sometimes these horrible sound vibrations, people are so absorbed in sound vibrations that are definitely coming up on a lower planet. And it cultivates a different kind of consciousness. So that's why we're propagating the chanting of the holy name. They hear the holy name. It becomes them. You become what you hear. You become what you associate with. That's even Hrishikesh was saying that to Prahlad. That instruction, we become our association. So that hearing, that contemplating, that makes us who we are. So that's why it's so important to hear and chant about Krishna for our own purification.
Very good. Can I add to that? It's very nice. Bhagavad Gita actually gives a very interesting.
In a 6.8 Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives beautiful purport. Jnana vijnana tattva, that when knowledge comes, it goes to the ear, but it doesn't go to the head. Without going to the head, it cannot enter into the heart. There is literally a sequence. So from the ear, that I'm hearing this, but if I don't contemplate, as you mentioned, very nice, reflect, it will never go to the head. And then after going to the head, it has to be applied. Oh, I should be doing seriously. Oh Lord, please forgive me, I want to serve. Then it enters, this application enters into the consciousness heart. So that ear to head to the heart. It's like a psychology. And then Prabhupada writes, very nice, the triptatma, that devotee will be satisfied internally.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhu. How Maharaj Krishna received the bad news, so-called bad news, in such a positive way, reminded me, I don't know how many people saw the Nectar Talks interview with our Jacksonville family, Amrita Kale and Leela Kishore, but at one point he was telling how when he got recently, a few months back, diagnosed with cancer, young men, small children. And I can't remember whether it was after he had some treatment, but he was in pain, and so his wife had to take all the duties, and he said, I was able to just focus on my Krishna consciousness, and it was actually so blissful. And I was thinking, okay, if I have to live like this, that's such a wonderful thing, and if I die, I'll go back to Godhead. So it's a win-win. He was so like Maharaj Krishna in response.
Yeah, we need to learn from, he said he's not an ordinary living entity. He's obviously put in that position by Krishna. His example is there for us to learn how to deal with these things. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Glories to Maharaj Krishna. Hare Bol.